is. Do you want me to kill these two and cover Habesh in blood?
I'd never seen a man stand toe-to-toe with Theodore, and if he'd pistoled Engadder on the spot, I'd not have been surprised. But he just stared him out of countenance, and Engadder growled in disgust and turned on his heel. Theodore passed a hand over his eyes and gestured after the departing prisoners.
"Do you not wish to go with your friends, Ras Flashman? It is done now. You are free to go."
Ironic, you'll agree. A few hours earlier, I'd have been up and away with a roundelay. But since then, Prido had brought Napier's orders, and they were not to be disobeyed, not if I was to keep my credit. Well, it was no great matter now. Theodore was crying uncle. The Queen's man was back in the Queen's keeping, and all that remained was the occupation of Magdala by her forces, and the disposal of its ruler, whatever that might entail. I was bound to stay. So I came to attention, regimental as you please. "Thank ye, Your Majesty, but with your permission I'll stay a while. Perhaps I can be of service to Your Majesty." He frowned, bewildered, and then the tears were welling in his eyes again, coursing down the black cheeks as he clasped my hand and regarded me with owlish emotion.
"Oh, my friend, my dear friend in Christ, my soldiers betray me, my people turn against me, my generals revile me, and from the ranks of my enemies comes one friend to stand by me."
He wrung my fin like a pump handle.
"Oh, you strange British, I did not know you until now. There are no people like you in all the world. None. None, I say."
"Oh, I don't know about that," says I. But he swore in choked accents that it was so, and sat down on his rock again, howling with sentiment and mopping his face. Then he had a quick pray, saying he had hardened his heart for many years, but now God had softened it, with some assistance from me, and Satan had been at work on him, but was now driven out, and he regretted the discourtesy of his letter to Napier, and must put that right.
"For this is Easter, and we are all Christians and friends," says he. "You are my best friend of all, and I shall open my heart to you and to all your people."
Which he did next day, with a civil note to Napier, and a gift of 1,000 cattle and several hundred sheep. Bent on reconciliation he might be, but he was no fool, knowing that if Napier accepted them, it was tantamount to a truce, and might even be regarded as a settlement, since he'd freed the prisoners, which was supposedly all that was required. Crafty old Theodore. But equally crafty old Napier, for he refused the gift, but responded with a decent gesture, sending up the body of old Gabri, which our stretcher-bearers had collected from the battlefield of Aragi. Flad brought it back, and Theodore was much moved, because of some misunderstanding by the interpreters. He didn't realise at this time that Napier had rejected his cattle, so he was all gladness and good humour, bidding Flad jovially to go up to Magdala and collect Mrs. Flad and the remaining prisoners.
"And God give you a happy meeting."
So Flad went, and a stranger procession you never saw than that which presently emerged from the Kobet Bar, for where I'd expected about 40 Europeans, there was a caravan of more than 200 folk, mostly black or chichi, for most were servants, with a few ab wives and chicos of the prisoners. There were more than 300 beasts laden with luggage, and it looked like the Exodus as they churned up the dust down the winding track from Magdala Rock, through the empty market stalls at the foot, and out across the deserted plain of Islamgi. There was hardly an Ab soldier in sight, for they'd struck their camp and withdrawn to Selassie and Fala. Theodore watched them go by from his pavilion. He'd sent for his queen, the real one, Turu Walk, a lovely slip of a lass, and her son, little Alamayo, and at her request sent a nurse to one of the prisoners' wives, a Mrs. Morris, who was about to pup, and indeed did so the next day in the British camp. They called the kid Theodore in appreciation. Mrs. Morris had a palki, Mrs. Flad and the other wives were on mules, and presently they disappeared down the road to Aragi, men, women, beasts, babes in arms, porters, bags and baggage. And that, Theodore seemed to think, was the end of it. How wrong he was, he learned on that sunny Easter Sunday evening, when word came that Napier had turned back his cattle, and it sank in at last that we would settle for nothing less than unconditional surrender, which must mean what he had always dreaded, the delivery of his royal person to a foreign enemy. Perhaps that fear was in his mind when he had his gun teams drag